Hello and welcome to the Happy Money Podcast. My name is Gino Barbara, one of the co-founders of Barbara 360. We're a company that is dedicated to changing the world one family at a time. And today I'm joined by my son, my co-host, Michael Barbara. Michael, how are we doing?
Doing good, Pops. How are we doing?
We're going to be talking about skills that you need to learn in the world to become more successful. And I think the first skill for you is you're looking good today.
Thank you.
It's one of those things where I didn't want to tell you before, but hopefully that my taste, dressing, and skedaddle looks really good on you, Mike.
Well, it's funny. All the Italian clothing, it's all hand-me-down kind of stuff, but hand-me-down in Italian culture is different because the clothes actually last.
And they look great on you.
And they look great, right?
Yes. So when you were thinking about the show today, what made you think about the topic, skills and habits that you need to become successful as an adult?
So a lot of the times with skills, I think just basic skills and necessities get overlooked in life, and that holds people back from actually being successful. And so the first one I came up with, I don't know if I would call this a skill or a virtue, but it's the aspect of learning humility. Mm. And it's learning how to take both of my wins and losses in life, learn from them, and move on. And one of my favorite stories is a few years back, I was studying chess with a coach online, and I would bring him all of these great games. I had like 7 or 8 in a row where I completely dominated the guy, and my coach was like, "This is great." And then he stops and he goes, "Okay, now I want you to show me a game where you didn't do well." My heart just sank. I'm like, "Dude, really? Let me show you this." And he goes, "Yeah, I do." And so I show him one. He's like, "Okay, this was bad. This was bad. This was bad." And he goes, "Okay, now here's how you can learn from this. I want next week, bring me another one of these games, and we're going to talk about that."
Those who shall be humbled shall be exalted. And those who shall be exalted shall be humbled. And it's very difficult, especially when you're younger, and even when you're older, to have the humility. And I think leadership and people who are in the leadership position are the ones who should always speak last. They're the ones who should say to themselves, "I don't know it all. I need to continue to learn and I need to continue to hear other voices." And if you're humble, you can do that. But if you show that you have a lot of ego, and I think one of the biggest sins is pride. If you're prideful and there's no humility in you, you can't hear other alternative ideas. You're stuck in your way. You've seen the experts over the last 5, 6, 10, 20 years. They're experts. They can't grow. They show a lot of pride. And even when they're shown to be incorrect or wrong, they still can't accept it. So I love that you picked this. I was sort of blindsided. I didn't expect this. I'm looking at the notes and it wasn't there. But I really want to thank you for starting off with that, because that is such an important trait. And it's harder, I think, when you're younger, because you're trying to prove yourself, right? You're trying to show that, hey, I know what I'm doing. And sometimes that doesn't really serve the person. And even as you get older, that's something we always need to lean back on, is just have an open mind, be curious, have that humility.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. It's even in your own life, like compare one situation and where you did everything by yourself, and then compare one situation where you did something with somebody else. What was the outcome? And not only what was the outcome, what was that journey like? Mm-hmm. What was more fulfilling? I'm going to use that word. What was more fulfilling? What actually brought joy and happiness into your life, from doing it by yourself or doing it with somebody else? Because that's also the next thing I want to talk about as well, is like partnerships, business, family, whatever it may be. I find in business that I really don't thrive when I'm working by myself. It's just, there's something in me that says, like, there's no, dare I say, motivation behind it. And so I found that the best businesses that I'm part of always come back to, is there somebody else working alongside with me? Because that person can strengthen my good traits, and I can also help them do the same as well. And even areas where I'm weak, like that person can, I can rely on that person to help me in my own weakness, and I can do the same for that person. Like, I know in our family businesses, I'm the guy with numbers. Like, nobody except for me and you are good with numbers. And likewise, I'm not the best with sales, but I know probably my mother's standing over here. She's the best with sales in our family probably. And I know I can go to her if I have questions or if I need to get something done. She can help me with sales and I can help with the numbers. But again, it comes back to humility. Am I humble enough to say, I'm not good enough at this? I need to rely on somebody else, and vice versa.
And you can also learn. But when it comes to partnerships, it's actually interesting, because, you know, when I had Jake and Gino, we'd always say multifamily is a team sport. So I always say, Michael, life before Jake and life after Jake. Life before Jake was a little challenging because I was doing everything by myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get burned out. When I started partnering with Jake, everything changed for my life. And it's interesting, because all the areas of success that I've had success in my life, whether it's my marriage with your mom, It's been an amazing partnership. I look at it from that perspective, whether it's the multifamily investing, whether it's the Jake and Gino community brand, mm-hmm. and now it's Barbara 360. I've been surrounded by people who I want to surround myself with.
Exactly.
And one thing about partnerships, which is interesting, and I want you to really lean into this, you are more likely to let yourself down than you are your partnerships and your family. You're going to get this podcast recorded. You're going to get all of it ready to go because your family is expecting that of you and you don't want to let them down.
Absolutely.
But if you're by yourself, there's really no accountability.
You can do it later.
Exactly. And that's something that I think people should be aware of. And I know people out there are saying, well, partnerships are risky. Partnerships aren't for me. I was in a bad partnership. I want to make one of the central themes of this show for me. One of the skills or habits that you need to develop if you want to become really successful in life is to base all of the decisions you make upon your values. We call it values-based decision-making, and that's important. So if you're going to make a decision to get into a business, does it align with your values? Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a decision to homeschool your kids, does that align with your values? Don't listen to what anyone else is saying, because I think if you, you know, make those decisions based upon your values, you know unconsciously, it's a good feeling. And when we don't make decisions based upon our values, then we feel as if something is off. And when we go back and look back in our timeline in certain elements of our lives that didn't go the way we wanted them to go, we can look back and go, well, that wasn't really in alignment with my values were.
Definitely, yeah.
What's the next one?
So the next one I have written down is I would like to talk about money and business overall.
Mm.
And so I wrote, like, do you need money to be successful in business? And that depends on your intention in business. Like, obviously, one of the top three things you want to do in business is make money. But is that your only model for success? Is that your only, like,
objective?
Objective. That's a good word of saying that. And if it is, like, okay, that's what you want to do. But again, there has to be something more to wanting to earn just money. I know I talk about this quite a lot. And it's the idea of, if our objective is just to make money, how are we going to do that? But also it's the idea of, okay, how many people are we going to help within this process? Because our entire Barbara 360 is focused on helping people. And along with that, the more people you help, the more money that's going to follow anyway. And so what if we just made it our objective to help people? After time, money follows along after that. So what's your kind of take on that?
I'm going to put up the book. Happy money, happy family, happy legacy. If you want a free copy as you're listening to this, just email me, gino@jakeandgino.com, or just go to barbara360.com. They can get a free copy of it. And it really discusses happy money. Is money going to be earned happily if that's your sole purpose, if that's your sole mission? I can say in my life, no, it wasn't. Because when I worked at the restaurant, that was my sole mission, just to provide for the family. It wasn't happy money. It became draining. Mm-hmm. There was no vision. Father Quinn once told me, no margin, no mission. So there's a delicate balance between it. Father Quinn understood that to draw people into the church, he had to spend or invest mm-hmm. money. He had some amazing events at St. John's in Mayapak, but he also spent money for the flowers. He spent money for the decorations. He actually marketed them, right? He got great food. But for that mission, he needed to make money to continue the mission. So I want to use this quote, and I think it'll sit with you. And you've probably heard me say it a couple of times. Profit is the fuel. It's not the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put money in there. Money is the fuel that will fuel your passions, that will fuel your businesses. It's not the destination. Money is just the result. Now, do you mind if I share a quick story about one of the mistakes that I made early on when I started a business?
Go ahead, yeah.
When I started a business, and this may resonate with a lot of people listening, I started the business to provide for the family. And a lot of people out there are like, well, I don't want to work for my boss. I'm going to start my own business. That's not really why you start a business, unfortunately. And more likely, you're going to end up failing at that business mm-hmm. or you don't have a real mission or a purpose for that business. It just becomes transactional. What I figured and I learned to understand after I got into business with Jake was you start a business to provide value for your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the more value you provide for your customers, the more you're going to be able to provide for your family.
Yeah.
And if I look at that in real estate, you go out and you buy a deal. The whole idea is to buy a deal and to make money for yourself, but not really. The real idea is to ultimately work and buy that deal, add value to a deal, add value to the business
mm-hmm.
by serving your residents, by serving the tenants in those apartments. by calling them apartment homes, by calling them residents, by giving them a great place to live. In effect, they start funding you, they start paying you. And then that equation there is also the employees. You're helping out and you're taking care of your employees as well. So first it's the customers and then the employees get taken care of, or vice versa. When I started, I didn't have employees. So it was really just a resident base. But if you're taking care of your employees, you're taking care of your customers, you're adding a tremendous amount of value to their lives. Eventually that money is going to trickle down to the ownership. And that's where you've created a ton of value on the front end. It takes a little bit of time, but on the back end, you're going to really receive the massive benefits.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's interesting with apartments, like it's a very customer service based business, right? It's mm-hmm. not like trying to think of something to compare it to, but I think in the end, everything really is customer service based, right? I think a lot of people leave that out because like you said, it's always focused on me, right? It's always focused on how can I get the most bang for my buck kind of thing. But when you shift it to this mindset of now we're talking about serving other people, it's a completely different game. Because now you're no longer focused on cheaping out on things. You're focused on providing the absolute best for what your customers are paying for.
And you just made a profound point because you were talking about me, pride versus humility. Mm-hmm. The prideful person is always how much am I going to make? How much are we going to make in this company versus how much can we serve? And you've seen companies like, let's say, Zappos. Zappos was the famous company that I think they got bought up by Amazon, but they were so customer centric. They were so obsessed with helping out the customers that people loved them and people continue to come back to them. And that's what it's all about. Understanding what your customers want. Understand that you need to create value for them. And the more value you create, the more money ultimately you're going to make. But that's not the goal. The goal is not to maximize profit. The goal is to maximize value. And mm-hmm. from that value, you're going to create a really great culture within your organization. You're going to have a North Star where you're going to be able to support people and really serve people. And from that, all of a sudden, money starts entering the bank account. Yeah. It takes time and it's difficult and you need clarity and you need mission and you need purpose for all this to happen. That's why when you start a business, just slow down and understand not how much money am I going to make, but what problem am I going to solve?
I'm going to fix, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting too, going back to customer service, I think most reviews I see from any kind of business online, a lot of them have to do with management or customer service. Mm-hmm. Like oftentimes I'll research apartments and whatnot. I think most of the negative reviews have to do with management.
Yes.
And they could just be solved simply with an email, a phone call, or a follow-up visit to the office or something like that. And so like we were saying before, what would it look like if we were to change that and focus on providing the most value that we possibly can?
Mm-hmm. It comes down to, in our business, just to be able to hear the residents. Mm-hmm. They're complaining. They might not be complaining about their hot water heater, but they are. But something else is going on.
Yeah.
And not listening and not being heard. That's why the great companies and the people who do really well in business listen to their customers. Once again, get away with the pride. If you think you know it all and you think you know your customer, then you're not going to learn, right? But that's the issue. And that's hard. Sending out surveys and then all of a sudden your survey comes back at a 1 and they say something about your company and you take it personally. Instead of saying what you said in the beginning, what can I learn from this number 1? And how can I reach out to this person and make it right? That's mm-hmm. such an important skill. A couple of skills that I wanted to mention from being an adult parent. And then I want some skills as a younger adult that you think the young adults and some of the things that parents, I think, need to teach the young adults. I think the first one is, for me, there's so many here, but a need versus a want. When we talk about money, you have to understand, you have to teach your children. There's a lot of wants in this world right now. Mm-hmm. We didn't have as many when we were growing up. We didn't have a cell phone. We had cable. We really didn't have a car. You know, we were shared mom's car. There's so many wants nowadays. Teaching the kids what they need versus what they want and talking to them about money and what money is and how you can understand the difference between a need and a want and that delayed gratification. If I can just buckle that in to what the need versus want, that's so important to tell your children, if we can't get it today, let's just wait. Let's save some time and some money. And when we want it, do we really need it or do we really want it? And that's the distinguishing factor. And those are two skills and habits that I think that every parent should be teaching their kids. That delayed gratification, so many studies have shown that as you become an adult, if you've been able to delay gratification, you're going to be a much happier life. You're going to have a lot less debt in your life, a lot mm-hmm. less stress, and you're not going to be out there wanting the greatest, newest thing. You're going to be happy with what you have.
Yeah. What do you think has kind of caused that? I guess you would call it an imbalance between a need and a want in the past 10 or 15 years.
To me, it's very simple. It's consumerism. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the internet has really fueled it. You go online and you see your friends with the greatest gadget. You see your friends driving the nice car, living in the great neighborhood. Remember, it's all about your values. Mm-hmm. I mean, I valued control and responsibility. So as you know now, even now, I have very little personal debt, even though I could live in a much bigger house. We could have a lot more things, but I don't value that. I value the security. I value the ability that I know that I can pay my bills. I value responsibility. Yeah. So it's been a lot easier in the last 10 or 15 years. Credit. These companies have done a very good job to make things seamless. Amazon, you go online, buy now. One button, and it's within your house in the next 24 hours.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's very easy to spend money. But if you don't tell your kids, do you really need it? And that's the decision. Every time you make a decision, let it go through the lens of your values. Do you need that car? Can you buy a used car, right? Do you even need a car? Let's say, for instance, those are something I think that you need to really be discussing with your children.
Yeah. Especially with the internet now, like you said, everyone's posting about their big houses and their fancy cars, but it's also, you know, people will only, this is a good message. People only post the highlights for the most part, the highlights of their lives. Mm-hmm. And so you completely miss over every negative thing that goes on in their lives. Because not many people have, do I say the courage or with a good term for posting the negative? It would be something, do they have the...
Well, we aren't taught to be vulnerable and we aren't taught to show weakness. That's the issue. The problem is if you show weakness, then all of a sudden, years ago, you'd be ostracized from the community. That's why most people don't like public speaking, because they feel as if they do a bad job. Subconsciously, they're not going to be...
big spotlight on you.
Yeah, they're not. Exactly. They're going to be kicked out of the group, which is pretty interesting if you think about it. So it's important that when you're talking about that, it's okay to share the wins and the losses, because wins are great and you need to have wins and wins need to fuel you. But losses are just an opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
And what did I do wrong? Right? There are no failures. There's only feedback. Mm-hmm. I think Tony Robbins says that.
Tony Robbins.
And if you can have that mindset every time you do something wrong, well, what did I do wrong? Why didn't this advertisement work? Why didn't this landing page work? Well, if you're too prideful, you're not going to ask that question. You're going to move on. The fixed mindset, I didn't make any mistakes. You're not even going to check. So you're not going to become successful. That's the important
thing. Absolutely, yeah. And the last thing I have written down here is kind of like a clarity of vision. Like in business, in life, what exactly is it that you want to do? And to be very specific with that, because if you don't have a clear goal in mind, you're not going to get there. Because there is, it's kind of like saying, okay, GPS, I want to go here. And the GPS is like, where's here? I don't know what's tipping there anyway. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's establishing a clear plan and a clear mission of this is what I want to do. This is how long I want it to take me. And if I get here a year or two later or a year or two before, that's okay. But as long as I show up every day and I say, this is the mission, this is how I'm going to carry it out today and then go from there.
Stephen Covey calls something, start with the end in mind. Now, I don't know how appropriate it may be for younger adults in their 20s. I think it is very appropriate. Mm-hmm. But as you're getting older, if you start with the end in mind, it may be a morbid thought. But he says, think about your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the end in mind, what do you want to see at your funeral? Who do you want to see there? What accomplishments do you want to be seen in that picture? How many people have you wanted to impact? What does your family look like? All of that is at the end of your life.
Yeah.
And a lot of it doesn't have to pertain with money, right? Like some of us think, well, I just want to get rich. That may not even be in the picture, but society has told you, hey, you need to go out and make tons of money. And once you have that picture in your mind, you know, for me, it's having a large family, a lot of kids, really a cohesive family, having a lot of fun, learning, earning, and then giving back a lot of that money, creating a legacy for my family. All that is part of my picture of what my funeral would look like. Now I need to reverse engineer that and bring that back into the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are those steps that I need to take over the next 20, 30, 40 years for myself to get to that picture? And yeah. I think that's what younger adults need to do. What do they want in their lives to do? So if that's the case and you want to have a large family and you want to be married and you want to have your, say, wife stay home, well, it'll be really hard if you have a dual income and you have three cars and you're living to keep up with the Joneses. It's going to be conflict. You're not going to be happy. You may be hitting your income goals, but is that really what your goals are? Mm-hmm. So I love how you said clarity, right? We don't lack the motivation. We lack the clarity. Mm-hmm. And that's so true in business as it is in family life and our personal life. So setting goals out there is great, but are you setting the right goals for yourself, the right objectives for yourself? So I love that point that you made.
Thank you. Yeah. So kind of going back to your kind of public speaking example, as I was saying in the beginning of this, kind of that chess example I was giving, without that vulnerability and without that kind of letting someone see, I guess in this case, my absolute horrible games, and I'm a guy's pretty much making fun of me on the spot. Right, without those experiences, we really don't grow. If all we focus on is just the good, there's nothing else really there to learn from.
Yes.
The only way we learn is looking back on our mistakes. Not the only, I shouldn't say the only way, but it's one of the best ways. It's one of the most difficult because we don't like looking at it. Mm-hmm. But if we learn how to get over that initial, I'm too scared of what everyone will think of me, that really is the best way to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to recommend three books to you, Michael. Okay?
Okay.
Number one.
You love this book, don't you?
You've read it. Happy Money, Happy Family, Happy Legacy. The second one, I think that every adult, young adult and adult should read is The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People by Stephen Covey. I've read it multiple times. They even make one for teenagers. It's a phenomenal book. And in those habits is really talks about becoming an adult and creating the skills and habits that you need to become a really responsible adult. And the third one is Atomic Habits by James Clear. He talks about goal setting. He talks about systems, processes on how to do it. He talks about how to create habits. And it's not from this perspective of a habit is not good or bad. It really depends upon what you're trying to accomplish. I love the book. So when we get off the podcast, I'm going to go to my bookshelf and I'm going to hand it to you and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to make sure you read it. And I hope anybody listening to this has the opportunity to read all three of those books. Because to me, well, the second and third, ultimately, they were honestly life-changing. And I've read them multiple times. I want to thank you for bringing this topic. I was a little unsure. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but I loved the way you started out, really practicing humility. And I just want to say to the listeners, I just want to thank you for taking part of your day and giving us the opportunity to share this important message with you. Now, if you want to learn more about our family company, just go visit Barbaro360.com to learn more. And as I said, our mission is super clear. We're here to try to change the world one family at a time. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next Happy Money Podcast.